Rocking chair sessions. With Elisa Di Battista, Maria Teresa Barber.
Hello, everyone.
And welcome to RCS Rocking Chair Sessions, Volume 106, with artist Gianna D, a.k.a. Gianna Di Bartolomeo.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
Thank you for coming to sit with us. We were talking about acronyms and how sometimes we have to shorten our names to make it more, I guess, digestible for the public.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm curious, do you know where your last name came from? What area of Italy?
My grandmother was from the northern part, more Milan, and my grandfather was more from mid-region, Florence, so somewhere there.
Have you been able to go visit? And
visit, but I don't have any family. It's not like I could go stay with anybody. I know.
Wow.
So that I totally regret. I wish that would be very nice, just to call up
those
and be like, hey,
tests, be like, hey, let's go visit you.
So all your family came to the States?
Yeah, so my grandparents met in Connecticut.
Oh.
Yeah, so, and then they moved to Florida, and my dad is one of 9 kids.
Whoa. Italian way.
Yes. Yes. So we have a big family, mostly here.
So wow. That's cool.
You guys have big families?
My dad was one of 7.
Okay.
But we're just 2, so that's kind of nice.
Okay.
Didn't have to fight too much over stuff. I think Maria's one of 2, too.
Yeah. 1 of 2 plus a half-brother, so 1 of 3. But I grew up with my brother, and then I was 8 years younger than him, so I basically have 3 dads now.
Oh,
because
wow.
They're all
yes.
So much older. My half-brother is so much older. My dad is really old, and my brother is so much older, too. But
so did he treat you like the princess then?
Yes, not always. Especially when I wanted to come play soccer with him and his friends, and there were not that many kids in my age.
Okay.
So my age group. So my mom would always take her with you, and if he would not take me, I would like start crying.
Then
my mom was, you have to take her with you. I'm very surprised that he doesn't hate me. Like,
aww,
but no.
No,
I was a little sister. So
how about you? Were you an only child, or you have siblings?
No, I have an older sister, a younger sister, and a younger. Brother,
so
but he
kind of in the middle.
Yeah, well, kind of, not for long. And then, but the brother, he's young, so it was like a live doll when he was born. Oh. It was like you had to take care of him. He was spoiled. Yes.
Yeah, I'm spoiled too. I think.
So,
well, 3 girls, 1 boy.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
You kept on trying for the boy in that family. That's exciting. Are they artistic as you are? Or you're the one that got bit by the bug?
I think everybody's creative in their own way and whatever they do, but they express it differently. I'm the only one in the art field, I guess you could say. But I think all of us express our creativity in different ways.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
And a little backstory, actually, Gianna and I, we met at the Creative Capital Workshop.
That's right.
Shout out to Creative Capital. They set us in the room in that building where the Department of Cultural Affairs is, right?
Absolutely.
No windows.
No.
2 days.
Was it only 2 days?
Or was it? Well, it seemed so much longer.
Did it feel like a week?
It seemed like so much longer. And
that's funny.
Yeah, it was really something. I still run into a couple of people who we took the class with, and
it was
it's
very
kind of
intense.
Like a rite of
it
passage,
intense,
right?
It was intense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of information in a short amount of time. I think some of it's still soaking in for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm watching you live it, so that's pretty amazing. Yeah.
I remember, I'm still really embarrassed. I was there and I was saying, I have money for 2 years because my mother passed away at the time. And tell me how I can become a full-time artist with 2 years worth of money. It was a one-on-one thing, I think.
Oh, okay.
Do
I was
you
like,
remember
no,
that?
No, I don't remember you ever saying that.
And the person there, you know.
What did they tell
therapist
you?
Therapist told me, get a job, Maria.
Oh.
And I was like, no, I can make it. I can make it work. I was trying so hard. And
2 years
you know,
later,
it was
you got
kind
a
of
job.
Like, and then I got a job.
2 years later, for real?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh,
I got
wow.
a job. And I think it was very good advice. I still have a job.
It's nice to have a job.
And it was really good advice. I did not want to admit it at the time. And I had like my ideas of how to make it.
Yes.
And I think I think things have changed a lot since then. But
absolutely. Mm-hmm.
How was your experience of that workshop and what happened after?
I think, okay, so before I did that workshop, I did something in Broward County called Artists as Entrepreneur. Have you mm-hmm. heard of that?
Yes.
No. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's also an intensive workshop and it's all about how to be a professional artist in a sense. How do you make money? How do you
sustain yourself?
Exactly, sustain yourself. And so I had come from that with all that information, exactly, head full, and then you come to this and it's head full again, but all about different things. And I think Creative Capital pushed more of community grants and more of nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And then Artist as Entrepreneur was really trying to find commercial. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you do that? And so I really needed, I feel like after that, I really needed a break to digest everything and find out like what works for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every artist is different.
Exactly.
You don't all want to go for the same things.
Exactly. And one person's route is not going to work specifically for you. And it's okay if they do theirs. You know what I'm saying? But just to have that, like, I don't know. I just felt like I didn't. They might have said it, but I didn't get that message. Like,
this might not apply to you.
Yes.
So
that's just kind of how I felt. And so even today, like, I'm still processing. There are things that I have, you know, set in the future that I would like to accomplish.
Take with you.
What? Yeah. So.
I also remember I was filling out the workbook.
Oh yeah.
10-year plan.
Yes.
And then the life, well, what is going to be written on your tombstone.
Oh, I know.
That's
and all
so
that stuff.
Dark.
You know, it was great. It was really, it said everything in perspective. And it was like, it was really funny because Eddie, my husband, did the workshop with me, right? And he basically already fulfilled his 10-year
plan.
Are you
kidding me?
Already, he never thought that he would be, you know, showing in the Whitney Biennial at any time. And I'm still like, I'm not even, like, I thought I would do more in the first year than I'm still, like, not doing. I'm doing other things,
yes.
You know, but so it's kind of funny how it.
How do you feel about that?
Everybody's path is different.
Yes,
yeah,
I agree.
Totally.
I feel like, I mean, I think things sometimes really work out the way you planned it, but really good things happen on the way. I don't even remember that they talked about nonprofits there.
Oh, really?
I totally blocked that out.
There was a guy who was, he was doing theater, and his theater was too, you remember that?
The German guy?
I don't remember if he was German.
I'm pretty okay. sure.
Maybe
I'm pretty
he
sure
was.
It was trans.
It's so funny. It's so okay, it we like, didn't say names.
Yeah.
They won't know.
Oliver.
I think his name is Oliver.
Yes. Wow, good memory.
Yeah, I saw him a couple of times.
Okay.
Hilarious.
So, yeah.
Maria.
So
he was talking about nonprofit.
Yes, and it was like, because if your art doesn't necessarily fit, if it's not commercial, but it's not this, you know, nonprofit's a really great way to go type of a thing. And I remember sitting there and I was just like oh my god, this is like
something even else I have to do.
Yes,
yeah.
And I don't even know where to start and blah blah blah, so it was overwhelming. But like you said, I think everything happens for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't happen, that's fine. I'm very goal oriented, so I have a tendency to write like these little timelines and plans, and sometimes I have to let go of those.
Mm-hmm.
Because Yeah,
they're not going the way
you
imagined.
Exactly.
The first time I recall seeing you, but I didn't actually say hello, one of our mutual friends was graduating. I don't know if it was called graduating or she got a certificate for completion of art table.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's when I remember actually physically seeing you. But it's one of those things where, like, Miami's full of so many people. It's so large, but it's also so small that you see people at exhibits, but you don't really have a time to talk to them.
Yes.
Which is why I really enjoy this project, actually getting to meet people and actually have a real conversation. So thank you for saying yes to sitting with us. Could you talk to us about your art table experience and how that has helped you within the South Florida-based art community as a woman?
So that was it's a really nice program and a nice opportunity to be paired with a female mentor who is in the arts community. And they provide, depending on what they do, various opportunities, outlets for you to go and see what they do, how they do it. And so the first semester I was paired with an independent curator, and she actually curated my work into one of her shows.
That's exciting.
So that was really nice. And it was, I mean, just where would you get an opportunity like that? Like, mm-hmm. you had to be an art table to be part of that. And then they have little events that you can attend. So, like, 5 minutes of fame where people were talking about their stories and things like that and their backgrounds. Just learning about, it's a great core community of people. And then my second mentor, she's on the public trust. So I went back to that building that has no windows and was able to sit in on one of those meetings, and that opened up a whole new world of like, oh my gosh, I did not know all this goes on
behind closed doors.
Yes. And so that was like an eye opener. And once again, where else are you going to get this opportunity if it wasn't mm-hmm. for that program? Mm-hmm. So that's a really great program. So.
Yeah, I landed back in that room for when they decided on the community grant.
Yes.
And it was like, it was also, like you said, it was eye-opening, you know, when they were discussing the projects for the community grant, what they said, what they liked, what they didn't yes. like, you know, and like we wanted to get the money for the exhibit, you know, but they were like, guys, you're doing the podcast like without any money. How can you do that? You know, where are all your employees? And I couldn't say anything, but Graham knew. Well, it's like the two of us. That's our staff.
Wow,
so kind.
It was funny to kind of see, you know, when you're in a project and you start something like this, and then how it looks from the outside,
yeah.
you know, or what they think we should have, or
wow.
How much money we should have, or it's funny. It's really funny.
Every journey is different, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
I'm curious, how did you end up deciding, because I know you recently graduated with your MFA from FIU, congratulations,
Thank
by the
you.
Way. When did you decide that you wanted to pursue the field of just being a fine artist?
I think I declared my major back in undergrad, but prior to that, I enjoyed expressing myself creatively, but it wasn't like I'm an artist or anything like that. And I had very different notions about what art was until I took a class, and it was, oddly enough, the class was full. I had to email the professor for an override.
Oh, wow.
So it was like, I feel like it was meant to be, because at any point he could have just said like,
it's difficult to get in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I was doing it as a non-major, just taking this drawing class, and my eyes were completely open to like what art is and what it could be, or the potential. And it's not just about copying something that's in front of you. It's about, you know, you have something to say, saying it in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it just blew my mind. So from then, after that class, I declared my major, and I was hooked. So that's just me.
And when did you graduate?
Undergrad?
No, you got a master's too,
yes,
right?
Yes, I just graduated last month.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah. Thank
3 years.
It was intense.
Wow.
It was, okay, so I did the program while working. I don't recommend that.
Yeah. Grad school is rough. And I didn't work, and it was still like I barely survived. Yeah.
So how was your experience?
It was just so busy. I don't remember ever being so busy.
Yes.
Like, then during grad school, I think I was like constantly making. I was constantly
yes.
projects. You were always involved with
always something.
Something, you know. It was like
going to exhibits.
I did.
Going
I did
talks.
Work a little bit. I worked as a student worker in the admissions office.
Oh, that's
office.
Good. Yes, yes.
You didn't work?
I just did loans, and mm-hmm. I regret that now. But
why? No.
Well, she has to pay them back.
I have to pay those back. There's so much interest. I wish the interest would be lower. But it's you find out about yourself mm-hmm. through others, I think, when you enter a program.
Yes.
And also your work going in doesn't look what it looks like necessarily going out. It still has a taste of you, but it changes. How do you feel that your 3-year program helped push you forward?
See, I think I didn't know what to expect, because I talked to a lot of different people before starting the program, and I heard different things about like what you're going to totally change as a person. You're never going to, you know, whatever it is, you're going to be totally different when you get out. And then other people were like, it's no big deal, whatever. So I didn't know what to expect. I tried to just have an open mind.
Mm-hmm.
I was really looking for a cocoon, an excuse to just say, I want to make what I want to make, and not have people asking like, what's next, or what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Just make whatever I wanted to make.
Totally.
Not feel the pressure to have to sell anything. Just, this was my 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how I approached it. And so I think that it was a cocoon where I was able to, for myself, just realize what my practice is, how I approach my work, and not feel like just have that. It was a confidence booster. Like, this is what I do. And it's not making excuses, and it's not anything to be ashamed of or anything. Like, this is just me, mm-hmm. take it or leave it type of a thing. So that's what the 3 years was for me, just that, like, this is what I do. Mm-hmm.
Did they pair you up with an advisor who, like, guided you through your 3 years, or did you have different mentors?
We had a committee of three members who were there to see your work throughout the whole process.
Oh, wow.
Yes, and committee meetings and things like that. But of course, there's always going to be that, like, one or two professors that you really connect with. And for me, that was Pip Brandt. And she was just, I mean, she's amazing. Mm-hmm. She's just a genius. So to have her get my work, understand, you know what I'm saying, just get that kind of feedback from her was really helpful for me. Mm-hmm. What was, when you guys went, did you have the same type of experience, or?
It was rotating for ours in our program. We had different, each semester we selected different advisors.
Okay.
That would rotate, and then you'd have, like, the day you could sign up for whatever advisor you wanted if they were free for a talk, for like an artist critique. So it was open but closed in the same
kind of. Was that helpful to hear from different people?
Oh, yeah. I think you always want a cold read. I think cold reads are amazing. Like, if somebody walks in into your studio, they have no idea who you are, your background, or what you used to do, and they just look at your work and they're like, this is what I observe or feel from your artwork, because that's what the viewer does.
Mm.
So I think that's really enlightening versus having somebody just know everything about you and you tell me what the work is about. It's like, I know you're going to read it differently, so just tell me what you think.
Mm.
So I think that's something that I appreciate. Maria, you're smiling.
I just remember it. I think it was Karen Finley. I'm not sure. But one of, like, these really, really amazing performance artists. And I was doing a lot of performance in San Francisco. And I showed her a couple of stills, which is always hard with performances. Mm. And she was just like, well, all I see is, like, a pretty girl in nice dresses. And what is that supposed to be? I mean, she's it's like a feminist person. She just put together this biennial and the Whitney, they called it the Whitney Houston biennial earlier, but now it's like the, like a biennial only for women in New York with, like, I don't know, 300 artists showing, and it's parallel to the Whitney exhibition, like the Whitney Biennial.
Yes.
And she does the Whitney Houston Biennial. So funny. And at the time, I was just like, okay, I really, really feel misunderstood right now.
Oh.
But when you get, like, when you get a little bit more distance and you're not as, I feel like in grad school, I was so close to my work. Like, it was almost like me, I was my work, right?
Yes.
So when someone said something, it was like, I took it really personal. When I look back now, I can totally see what she was saying.
Oh, really?
I was like, totally, I have to agree. Yeah, I have to agree. But it was funny. There were other professors that were, you know, more, maybe more supportive and less confrontative. But I really enjoy now, looking back, the moments where I was, like, really confrontative and I was, like, crying or, like, feeling really bad, because it's like, it hit a spot, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't forget that. You don't forget that.
Well, how could it not hit a spot?
Yeah, yeah.
Were you ever given feedback that was critical but not constructive?
Of course.
I think that's always strange. I think as an educator, you want to be constructive and have, like, okay, like, this is how I feel about it, but these are options of things that could potentially correct it, versus just criticizing something. Because I feel like criticism doesn't really get
anywhere.
A student anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're supposed to be assisting them as an educator, so I always found that kind of, like, counterproductive.
But I have to say, I've been, like, teaching. I'm a teaching artist at DePam, and I've been teaching before, and I'm, like, I'm just hoping that the kids don't really take what I say so serious, because sometimes I'm just really tired.
Yeah.
Or I'm just like, there are just so many of them.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God, if I would have known what it is like to be a teacher when I was in grad school, I would have not taken half of this stuff so serious, you know?
Right.
It's just like, I mean, being a teacher is just like a really hard job too. I mean, you basically are
I don't know. I feel like I try to be supportive. Like, they're like, this is ugly. I'm like, no.
No, it's that's just what
like,
I say too.
You have to, like, correct it. Like, yeah. Everything is a beautiful opportunity. You know, mistakes are, you know, lessons learned. Everything. There are no such thing as mistakes. You're learning how not to do something.
True. Yeah.
So,
well, I'm trying to do that too, but I feel like, I mean, sometimes it's just a look in my face, maybe, or right. I don't even have to say it. It's just like, yeah. or I don't know. I have way more, a better understanding of what teachers go through. And I think also in grad school, right? Because no. I feel like I was incredibly needy in grad school. I think I needed so much validation because I was going through a lot.
Also, I feel like you switched your program. I think, like Gianna, you mentioned you moved to fine arts in your undergrad, and then your master's was eventually fine arts as well. You came from a
very different background.
Very different background. You were doing psychology. True. So I think, like, entering a whole different pool with different players, you're like, am I good enough? Am I doing this right? How can I learn? So I think whoever met you, you should have been, like, first of all, like, hi, my name is Maria Teresa Barbis, PhD.
Correct.
My background is psychology.
Right.
Let's talk.
Yes.
Really, how do you feel about this? What do you think? So when they're talking to you, they're not just talking to some random person. Talk. It's like,
it's true. Yeah.
You come from a background that's completely theoretical. So it's like,
but I feel that was also the reason why I survived grad school, because for me, the artwork that I was making always had a deeper meaning. I came from art therapy. I came from an art therapy training. And so, and like you said, you know, grad school is supposed to be this transformative thing, and you're a completely different person afterwards. And I feel like I was always, when I was making something, even if it was like total crap, I would always look at it in like, what does it reveal about what I'm going through right now, my process, or like I would basically always psychoanalyze my artwork, you know, and then it didn't really matter what the teacher said, you know, because the most important thing is what I got out of it. Yes. So
I could see that applying to you too, Gianna, because the Art-O-Matic thing, we Google you guys before you guys come, but the Art-O-Matic thing, you were doing that even from undergrad. It's a program, so even when you went to go enter your master's program, you already had success. You already had this project you were working on. Could you talk a little bit about the Art-O-Matic?
The Art-O-Mat is, I just felt like it was such an amazing opportunity. He takes old cigarette machines and fills them with art. And then it's an affordable art program. So you could, I think it's $5 now, but get a token and you pop and you pull, and it's the size of like a cigarette box, but it's art on there. And he's all over the place. There's even one at the PAM.
Yeah.
So.
No way.
Yeah.
And she's a part of that program.
Where is it at the PAM?
In the gift shop.
No way.
Yeah.
You saw one at FIU.
Yes, they did.
At the old museum.
Yes.
That was also almost like no windows. I don't know what that no window thing means. But,
but
you did that prior to entering your MFA program. Are you still a part of that program?
Yeah, I still do it.
Cool. That's awesome.
I think it's just a great, it's like a fun thing to
and
be
a
part
of. And
it
gets your art out there. And
it
then
does.
If somebody's interested, then they'll be like, oh, I want a bigger piece. And they'll look you up.
And it's cute because on the back, like, you could put your, like, what the piece is about and everything and your contact information. And I get pictures of people like, hey, I just got your piece. It just brightened my day.
So
you know? Like, who doesn't want to get an email like that?
I know, right? So it's like that automatic pick me up. And through a grad school program, that's like the automatic like perk on a really bad day.
yes.
I have to look out for this. And what do you paint on when you do the art for the?
So they have a couple of options. I choose the MDF blocks that they pre-cut. You can order them for yourself, and they're exactly the size they need to be, the weight they need to be, or they sell the little boxes that you could fill your own art with, as long as it fits inside their little box. But you send them a little prototype, and if they like your work, then
they'll accept. Cool.
Yeah. So it was fun.
I wanted to talk about your selection of material. How do you go about selecting what material you're going to use for what projects? I've seen different pieces, and different pieces have different materials. Like, when do you decide, okay, I want to use glitter for this? Or when do you decide I want to use sequins? Or when do you decide I want to use the little, it looks like, almost, I don't want to say like the little press thing for like the cake decorating, like the
yes.
When do you what other project tells you that it dictates that that's what you have to use for?
So
you,
I think there's three cornerstones in my practice, which is the what, why, and how, and those three have to align for me to feel comfortable moving forward with my project. And so the best way I can describe it is, it's like kind of like have three file cabinets in my head, and going daily life. I'm just filing things away. It might be an experience, and I say, that's a concept I'm going to explore at some point. It might be a material, such as the ribbon, or such as an Army Man toy, or whatever, and I have that filed away. And then it's the process, how are these things going to be put together? And so then there comes a point where it's time to go through the file cabinet and see if I have an alignment. And so for the piece that looks like frosting, it was all about, I was trying to capture that, what I was feeling when someone did a random act of kindness. And it was just that, like, oh, that's so sweet, you know? And so I wanted to visually do that. What does that look like? And so then that's why I chose that material and that process and that idea of, like, if we all did it, look how pretty the world could be. You know, that type of a thing. So it was just, so it aligns. When it aligns, I move forward.
Same thing with the color usage, because they're so bright and happy. It makes me think you're a bright, happy person. I like that.
But, well, I try to, I feel that the world can be a pretty dark place. So if I could be a little corner of bright and happy, then so be it.
Yeah. How do you think your work, oh no, first of all, what was your decision, how did you make your decision to go to grad school? I think we met before you even started.
Yeah.
And then how do you think your artwork changed through grad school? Or was it just other things that changed and not really
lots
your
of questions,
art?
Girl. What are?
Sorry, my brain is not filed really
so
well.
I didn't go straight into grad school after undergrad. I took a break, and I was doing a lot of things, like trying to figure out professionally what I wanted to do, that type of a thing, just making my work, getting out there, doing everything. And I knew at some point I was going to go back. I just knew it was just a personal thing I wanted to do, and it was just a matter of timing. And then things just kind of aligned and opportunity opened up. I said, okay, I'm gonna do it, and I went in. I have a lot of artists that I look up to. I'd search their CVs, and I noticed they all went to grad school. So I said, there's got to be something going on here, you know. There's got to be a reason why all these people that I like have this degree, you know. It's gonna be good for me. So that's why I went. And I went, and I like I said, I think what changed for me was kind of like, it was an attitude change almost, like no apologies, researching where I stand in the midst of art history, the contemporaries, you know, validating what I do. Instead of, it's not so much about changing, it's growing for sure, pushing the boundaries, experimenting, and that safe space to do that. But it's also about just that inner confidence of, this is who I am, and being your most authentic self, and just being okay with it. So I don't know if that answers your question, but
it does. I think that is really what grad school was for me too, a little bit. I think that's kind of like peeling off like layers and layers, or masks or veils, or until you're kind of like naked, standing naked in front of you, you know? It's kind of like you're looking into your own soul or something like that, and you have to be okay with what comes out, because that's the only thing that can really truthfully come out of you, right? So
and just being okay with it, and even if somebody else isn't okay with it, just being like, this is me, this is what I have to say, you know?
What are your plans for your new afterlife after grad school? I know that my first year after grad school was probably the most difficult one. What about you, Elisa?
Why?
The first year after grad school?
It was a recovery year.
Thank you. Okay.
It was a 3-year program. It was a 3-year program in two. So it was a little bit.
You did 2 years of grad school.
2 years.
Oh
Me
my
too.
Gosh.
2 years.
So it's like, it's compressed.
But you had a job. You still have a job, right?
Yes.
That's continuing.
Yes.
That's
great.
Very good.
That's great. That keeps
that's
you sane.
That's very good. That keeps you sane.
It was recovery. And I think that I wasn't as aware. I feel like you're so much more aware, because I feel that you continue to exhibit. You work with this project. You did the art table. You did the creative time. Like all these different things that have kept you within the loop of the art world versus like being displaced and moving to another state versus like me. Like I moved away from home and then moving back, and I was unaware of like what my community was or what my community looked like or who was in my community.
That is
I had to immerse myself and start from zero.
Yeah.
So I think you've already been in it, and I think whatever you do from now on is just like you're just layering another icing on top of the icing, because you've already been here and
have done so much. What I did want to pick your brain about is, how do you feel of yourself as artist versus artist who curates and puts people together for shows? Because the last exhibit you guys did with the women's
and Jarrell,
could you talk a little bit about that?
So that is always challenging, I think. Actually, you guys would know as well. I'd love to hear your opinion. Like, on one hand, you feel like as an artist, you're going to understand other artists and want and come from that perspective of like artists understanding artists and getting it. And then on the other hand, as I wasn't the full-on curator, I was just assisting. And so realizing there's a lot of politics involved and having to work with certain circumstances and that type of a thing, and following rules and all that, that has to all happen. And you can't necessarily make everybody happy. And so that was a challenge. I mean, I enjoy bringing people together, but in that particular case, I mean, that was a huge show. So it was just like, well, you guys know.
How many artists did you have in the show?
I think there was like 38 artists. But
That's big.
But you guys have
50 first one, and then 25 and 25. But 38 is a lot, yeah.
So let's hear your experience.
Kind of like what you said. You select certain things because you know it'll fit in the space, and certain people might have another project in mind, and you want to respect them and you want to choose that project, but sometimes it's just like every circumstance is different, and sometimes there are things that are out of your control, and in a pristine, serene world, like everybody would be happy, but you still have to like put everything in a balance, and you want to showcase that artist to the best of their potential, because that's your responsibility. Like, your responsibility is to make that artist's work look as amazing as possible, and everybody's is supposed to like equally shine, and that's so heavy of a job to do, but it's the one you chose, so it's rough.
So do you enjoy curating or not particularly?
I would say it's a mixed bag.
Great question
I love hanging, I love lighting, I love spackling, I love painting walls. Maybe that's my calling, being a pro.
And she's so good
I did it for 2 years in grad school. People used to make fun of me, and they would say, like, this is your artwork.
Any museum.
This is your artwork, isn't it?
Would be lucky to have her.
Her walls are the most pristine and most precious. That's my thing, I will say. It's preparing walls and filling holes.
You like choosing artwork, too.
Yeah, everybody has a different aesthetic, though. I think that's what it comes to, and that's why every curator has their own style. Mm-hmm. It's like when we work together, we have to be like, I like this one, and she'll be like, I like that one. I'm like, okay, which one do we both like?
Yes.
So we have to meet in the middle. It's like, you know, husband and wife situation. We have to like pick in the middle. We have to compromise. But did you, as the assistant, get the chance to select pieces, or was it like you with your...
Some. I suggested certain artists, and they weren't necessarily all taken, but...
Same. That happens before.
Yeah.
Totally.
So that's a little heartbreaking. And you're like, okay, but it's a very collaborative effort. And so that is good and bad.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's fun to be the one in control and say that's going to go there. And then when you have to work, they can either sharpen you and make you better, pick out things that you didn't see, which is great. Or sometimes you're just, like you said, meeting in the middle. And so it was definitely a valuable experience. There was a lot of artists to work with. It was just a big thing, and we didn't have a lot of time. And
email blasts, and please send us your this.
Yeah,
and totally.
That's not.
People don't tell you about the administrative work. I think that's one thing that I feel like, looking back into
email
programs, I think that the one thing that would help any program that is art related is like, there is a lot of paperwork that has to be done. It's not like the cop movies where it's like, oh, it's all action, bam, bang. And they're like, no, actually, real world, you have a lot of paperwork. No. Same thing as an artist. Like, you have to fill out forms and loan agreements and ask for stuff for postcards, revisions. And there's just a lot of time consumption that you're not aware of until you have to do it.
Absolutely.
So I think that would be.
So yes, when all the work was in the building.
Mm-hmm.
That was so much fun.
Yeah, totally.
That's
the best part.
Yeah, that makes everything worth it. And you're like really putting things together, seeing connections.
Yeah.
Like, that's what made all the emails.
Yeah.
But yes. And then people asking a question you thought you answered in the call, but apparently not. So yes.
Yeah, I agree. I think that For us, it was a really great experience to work with Anthony Spinello, who invited us for the Annex show.
Very nice.
You know, to work with him.
So and knowledgeable. I think that was, we learned so much.
That was really fascinating because we were also like, oh, we are getting mentored. We're being mentored.
It's so like we were both making our own floor plans. You know, that's Elisa's A, B, C, D version. I usually have one version because I'm just lazy. But then, you know, Anthony came in and he put his sparkle all over the place, you know, and he did things where I was like, what?
Wow.
What? And then he put like five works in this like really small room, but it was really high. And all of a sudden he was like, zing.
Yep.
And we were just like.
Well, we had some of those pieces together, but I think it's like you said, like with the person you worked with, like there were things that'll sharpen you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there are things you take away, and it's such a growing experience, regardless of whether you feel that it was amazing or it was like, you know, meh in between, you always take something away.
Absolutely.
So I feel that this year that you have post grad school will be such a amazing year for you.
Oh, okay.
And you've done fairs too. Can we discuss the fair experience for you?
Sure, but before I go into that, I will say, wouldn't you agree though that curating, it is, I mean, I don't know if we could call it an art form, but it is almost like you do need a lot of practice, and the more practice you get at it, the better you will be. Like, that's something also I feel wasn't necessarily pushed in grad school. Like,
I think it depends on how many people are involved. Because if you are working on your own, the only contradicting voice you have is the only one in your head.
Okay.
Somebody gives you the freedom of like, this is my work, I'm tired to curate it, you go do it, boom. Or if it's like multiple people, and then it's that I think this, you think that, mm-hmm. I think that goes over there, and then you have to create that compromise of that balance. Not everybody can curate, even if you do train them, because they don't have the eye. So I think some people do or more in tune with that than others. So I'd say it's a mixed bag.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I feel for me, curating was like a really eye-opening experience, kind of like being a teacher. I have all these eye-opening experiences because I just have so much more appreciation to curators in general, and especially curators who need things done.
Yes.
You know, it's kind of like, I feel like, listen, if you invite me to a show and you need things from me, I'm going to send them to you.
Yes.
I'm going to send them to you on time. I'm going to pick up my work when I need to, you know, I'm going to, I feel like before I started to create, I was kind of like, I tend to be very critical how shows are curated. And I feel like I was upset about small things that happened, and now I feel like, listen, I know the backstory, you know, I know mistakes are just part of the game. You know, if you work hard and you work with a lot of people, mistakes are going to happen.
Absolutely.
You know, so I feel like I'm a little bit more.
Did you have opportunities to curate when you were in undergrad?
Undergrad, no.
That's the thing. How about you and your program?
I studied psychology.
When you went to SFAI.
Oh, this one
year? When I was at UM, they had the cast gallery, and you were able to intern. And so you more or less got to, like, they showed you how to light, they showed you how to hang, they showed you how to...
Very valuable.
There was one point where there was a male curator who we had, who was the director of the program. We were doing the MFA show, and he's like, okay, these are the pieces. Where do you think things should go? And I was like, boom, 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 boom. And I was able to... but that artist wanted to go on the stage.
Oh.
I'm like, well, that's not where the piece belongs.
See, that's very
and
nice.
And I realized that sometimes people want to put something in a certain spot, thinking that's, like, the magical place.
Yeah.
But the reality is the piece calls for the wall, or the wall calls for, like, it has to make sense. So I think that going forward, maybe programs should offer the option of curating for their students, to have them maybe go down that route as well. That's something that
Absolutely.
I've thought of a lot recently.
I mean, we were curating in grad school. We had a gallery.
Yeah.
You did the gallery too, right?
Yes, here at the Big House.
No, but you also curated the gallery, or you helped curate the gallery.
The project space. Yes.
Wasn't that you also that did a lot of the background work, or with Pip?
The W10 gallery.
Yes,
that was a lot. Once again, a lot of administrative work.
Yeah,
like we had to come down, sit down, figure out the themes, figure out the deadlines, the calendar, make sure people brought their work in, make sure they took their work, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I didn't necessarily participate in the fun part. I mean, I coordinated like. Who got to hang? You know what I'm saying? That's the fun part. The fun part is seeing all the work and putting it on the walls. For me, I think.
Yeah, totally.
So I did all the dirty work, really. But it was a good learning experience. Totally prepped me then for later on with the Doral show. you know, had a little bit more experience under my belt with with that.
How large was that space to fill?
The Doral one?
Yeah, I couldn't make it.
It was, well, they had moving panels, paneled walls, so that was... That was intense too, because then we had to decide like
which walls you want to keep.
Exactly. Oh. So, and there was a lot of work, and so some of the work we just we tried. Every artist had at least, I think it was two pieces up.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
a lot.
Yes.
So from 38, it could be twice as much.
Exactly. Oh, and some people submitted more than that. We really wanted to put it in, but we didn't want to overcrowd it. We wanted everybody to shine, but you know, so
breathe.
It was, So.
That's tough with a lot of people. I feel that's always like that.
It is, but it was a community show, so it was like, how do you not... You can have four artists.
I know, or even if they just like, oh, we have one piece, but it's really large. It's like, it's heartbreaking. Like, you, I want to include the piece that everybody wants to include, but then you're sometimes limited.
Yep, and that's what I'm saying. It created, like you were saying, it just creates a certain sensitivity in you that you didn't have before. As an artist, you might have been like, oh, why did they, or, you know, why is this piece so small, you know, blah, blah, blah. All these questions, and now it definitely creates a sensitivity of like, okay, things are happening. There's a there's something else going on that I may not be fully aware of.
Totally.
So that's.
And I do feel that it's just also so much different than from curating your own work, you know, and then or curating the work in a group with other artists, like what we did in grad school, for example. I had a show with one other artist, and it. I feel like. Creating your own work is just like a very different process.
It
than
is.
I don't know. I feel like it's the same.
Really? It's the same for you?
The work calls for the wall. The wall tells you where it belongs.
Oh.
Or if they let you be site specific and you have enough time in advance, I'll make a specific piece for that wall.
I feel like for my own shows, I go very much, I follow very much my gut just to... Also, what am I going to include or what am I not going to include? And sometimes you fall into, like the last show that I did at the Miami Country Day School, it was just really, they had a TV there installed and were like asking me for a video, you know, and it was in the main space. And
did
I was
you
like,
want to do it?
I did it. And it was the last, I feel like it was really like finishing the circle, kind of like it was bringing this whole show together, and it was not planned, you know. It was just happening. And I feel like for me putting my own shows together is always like almost going through like this very emotional and psychological process of like figuring the work out in a different way, deeper almost. And you know, you make it and it comes out of you, and then for me it always takes a long time before I can really see it.
I agree. So, which is also somewhat difficult in the grad program because we had to write about it.
Oh yeah.
And it was like, I need some time to really figure everything out.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm looking forward to post-graduation, of like just letting everything simmer. I feel like I've soaked in a lot. I just want to figure some things out.
Yeah. So I think that's a good approach for the year after grad school. Yeah, totally.
Can you describe your piece? Because it looked huge in the images I saw.
It was a big piece, and it was definitely me pushing boundaries. I have a tendency to be very like working within the box, within the frame, grid, everything. So I was pushing all of that, and it was the last sequence because I had started with embroideries, which were in a frame, you know, square, rectangle. Then I went to the sequins, still in a frame. Then I went to not in a frame anymore. There were these odd organic shapes. And then now the shapes needed to leave the wall completely because that was still somewhat of a frame. So it was in space. And so the whole idea was about taking a risk and how you're being vulnerable in that risk. So you're in the middle of space, you're viewable from all sides. In this particular case in the museum, we had for ADA requirements, I couldn't be like in the center of the room, but it was still out. And it was about just being vulnerable and visible from all sides, and this unknowingness of, are the pieces going to come together and form this fragmented flower picture, or were they going to float further apart and just be an islands themselves and a mess? And so that's what I was covering there. And it was about 13 feet high and about 16 feet wide.
Wow. And the materials?
They were sequins on foam.
Nice.
What's sequins?
Kind of like those, how do you describe it? Shiny, yeah, circular objects.
Oh,
mm-hmm. That
glimmer and shine.
Yeah, I know now. I know the word, how it's written. Sequence. Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, I know.
It sounds like English sequence. That would be language. Sequence of like a, mm-hmm. of events.
Mm-hmm.
I get you, bilingual. I'm bilingual too. Funny enough, did you, for your MFA show, were you in a room shared with other individuals,
yes,
or did you have a room to yourself? How did that work? Because I always think it's very, it's a precarious balance, like when it's like between you and other individuals whose work might look different than yours, to have it for if your piece is that large, like does it overpower theirs? Does it not overpower theirs? Does it work together? Are they talking? Are they like screaming at each other? How did
that
work?
We didn't have like, it wasn't a free for all. It wasn't like you all just chose what wall you wanted to be on. It was, the instructor had a lot of say in making sure it was a cohesive show. And so,
oh, really?
Yeah, so there was definitely a balance being struck between the artists who work in vibrant colors and mm-hmm. those who are black and white. And so there was always a keen awareness mm-hmm. that there needed to be some sort of balance. And so I was paired with a black and white photographer. So I think it worked out well. I was happy, he was happy. So it all worked out. Yeah.
We had to sign up for spaces, or we had to write a proposal for a space.
Really?
And I ended up sharing the, it was a vault, because it used to be like in San Francisco, it's called the Old Mint. Mm-hmm. So it was like a vault where they stored gold or the coins.
Oh, how nice. That's fine.
And it was the whole walls were all metal. So we could install everything with metal hooks. And even on the ceiling, like I installed the lighting myself. Like we put hooks, metal hooks, on the ceiling and hung our lighting system from it. I did a great job. You would have been so proud of me. Yeah, I worked that out with Home Depot light bulbs and
yes.
light tracks and everything.
That's
it
so
was
fun.
Really, really cool. And my
wow.
friend was a wonderful printmaker, and she had photographs up, really, really long prints of photographs and glass pieces, glass
beautiful.
Kind of like laser cuts or something. Beautiful, yeah. It was really cool. Oh, that was exciting.
So that worked out though. There was no drama.
No, that worked out pretty well. But I have to say, when I'm in shows with other artists and we're curating it together, I usually start fighting about space.
Really?
Like that I feel that I don't get the space that I need, or that I don't get. I do that. I do that, really.
Wow.
I feel like I'm being quiet and let everything happen until I'm like, no, I need my space too. You know, it's kind of like,
I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh,
I'm
but
very,
I can envision this.
I feel like I'm very, very like, yeah, everything goes.
Yes.
And yeah, that's just everything. Everyone should get their space, you know, and I'm kind of putting myself
yes.
kind of like back and
right.
like my needs. And then all of a sudden it hits me like, no, and this is not fair. It's so funny. It's really funny. That's kind of my process.
Wow.
I have to hit that limit, you know, where it's just like.
But does it happen
no.
every time?
Not every time.
Oh, okay.
Not every
okay,
time.
Great.
But
we don't always see the, what is it, the Hulk.
The Hulk, Maria. Yeah, it's I save it for the precious moments.
Well, I think, for my piece in my show, there, it called for its own space. Like, I couldn't, that piece, because everyone knew that was the piece I was making. And so when we got the museum space, it could only go in, let's say, one of two spaces. So, like you were saying earlier, like, sometimes the work calls for a particular
yeah,
wall. So
totally.
It was what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So it all worked out.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Do you have any upcoming, like, residencies or projects or, like, things that you're excited about, vacation even, or things you want to explore, you want to share with us?
I'm excited because in October and November, I have solo shows in Washington State.
Ooh.
Yay! So I'm really excited.
Fine. Well, congratulations.
Thank you. So I'm excited to get back into the studio and make work. So that's what I'm looking forward to.
Do you Ooh. Have a specific place that we could tell people to look at? A gallery or?
Oh, yeah.
Or?
It's Ryan James Fine Art.
Okay, cool.
And he's got two locations now, so I'm going to be in October in his main gallery, and then November in his second gallery that he opened up. So
wow.
I'm excited.
And where is his
fun.
Studio at?
My studio is in an office space.
Okay.
So
make it work.
Absolutely. So I just cleaned that
you
out.
But you have it already.
Yes.
You moved in already?
Well, I had it because before grad school, like after undergrad, I had it and it's this office space and it works out, and I just cleaned it out, so I'm very tired, but accumulation
start
of
fresh.
Like, yes.
I cleaned today as well. You might not realize it, but I did clean, right?
It's it does.
Like, it looked like crap before.
No.
It just lived in.
It's hard to get rid of stuff.
I know.
Totally.
I know.
You never know when you'll need it, and then when you get rid of it, you need it, and I'm like, why, universe, why?
I love throwing stuff away.
Every time.
So good at it,
Now I'm horrible.
It was hard. It was like 3 years of not cleaning it out, so it was time.
I threw so much work away after grad school because I couldn't take everything. I threw it, just threw it away, It was great.
Sad.
Very last question.
Oh, God, I can't believe it's already happened.
You've been sitting in a magical rocking chair and it grants you three wishes. You can wish for anything and everything, but you have to say them out loud for them to come true. Okay. These are the rules of the rocking chair. What are your three wishes?
Am I allowed to wish for infinite wishes?
Yes.
Okay, so that's one of them.
No judgment.
Now you have to tell us all your infinite wishes.
No, I guess, wow, I wasn't expecting this. This is really hard. Okay, so infinite wishes for sure. And then I wish... Oh, God.
See?
Every time.
Every time.
It's a good question. It's a good question.
But I'm really happy you wish for infinite wishes before you can even formulate one
wish. Exactly, because I know I'm going to need more.
Instead of a 10-year plan, what within the 1 year, what kind of wishes would you need for the 1 year?
For the year after grad school?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I would really like some clarity. That would be great. Like to just... Because I know there's a lot of information, right? Mm-hmm. And be able to sift through it and know what to keep and know what to get rid of and have it really inform the work. And I guess I would wish that I would find my place in my community or my art world. Like, you know, find my people, find my path. Yeah. So that's three, right? Yeah.
Thank you so much for staying with us.
No, thank you.
And congratulations again.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm honored.
It's finished. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some people don't.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a girl in our program who quit.
Yeah. Same here.
But then she joined a different program and graduated from that. It's just you have to find what fits for you. So I thank you. You definitely will.
It does. Thank you guys for having me.
Thanks for sitting with us. And we spoke so much. We really apologize. But if you're interested in looking up Gianna's website, we will be tagging it to our own. And we look forward to seeing your solo show in October and November.
Thank you.
All right. Bye, guys.
See you next week.
Bye.